Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Please welcome brother and sister.
You know, you never know what God's up to, ever. As we were getting ready to come on this trip, and this is the shortest one we've ever gone on at this time of year, we said, as we were leaving the office of our church, we says, well, you know, we need to get some new carpet in this office and stuff. And he says, oh my gosh, it's a light color, and you can see through 20 years of the footprints, you know, and then it looks terrible. So we says, well, maybe we'll get some. We don't know, you know. We thought about it. Just a thought. Couple days later, right, quit thinking. Couple days later, you never know what God's up to and allows to happen. In fact, it was last Saturday. Not yesterday, but last Saturday. Oh, 5 o'clock at night, we get a phone call. I'm here to clean the church. I'm going to vacuum the hall in the sanctuary. But I don't think I can vacuum the hall because there's a lot of water in the hall. What? And they says, and I hear this noise. The dishwasher's running, and it's running, and it's running, and it's making a lot of noise. And water is just pouring from the kitchen into the little dining hall and running right down the hallway into the main hallway to the sanctuary. And we says, you are kidding me, aren't you? No. So we had to get people up there. Sure enough, three days that water ran. The day that we left. Well, they were there Wednesday night. We left on Tuesday. They were there Wednesday night. Behind the dishwasher, it broke. It froze. And then when it warmed up.
It's only 22 below. Yeah.
So, anyway, here comes a bunch of people, and they're cleaning up and stuff. And they says, you know, Pastor, we're going to have to tear that carpet out of that. In the first little offices, we're going to have to tear the carpet out. It's soaking wet. It won't clean up. But the hallway's cleaning good. The little dining hall's cleaning good. Sunday school room's cleaning good. And because they were all done with Jude back and not the, we had the more softer, you know, for the office. And I says, we're not buying that soft stuff again because if it ever does this again, at least Jude back, you can get it cleaned up good like this, you know. So. Now it's lifted off the floor. So, anyway, so they called the insurance. We called our insurance, and they come, and they says, well, we don't know if you're covered in this and that. So that's where we stand. But it doesn't matter because, you know, we said to the Lord, we'd like to get new carpet in that. And all of a sudden, watch what you're saying, because all of a sudden, water comes gushing down the hallway, heading for the office. It did. And so they said they got to take it out of that office, too. So anyways, always watch what you're saying. You don't know how the Lord worked. And then to come on this trip, he's going to share with you on this trip. So last week it was water and carpet. This week, he'll tell you what it was.
This morning, in fact.
Well, I always like to be early. No matter where I go, I always like to be early, and I like to get into the, you know, into the meet and greet. And so we got up at about 5:45 this morning. We had a 2-hour and 10-minute drive up here. So we said, we'll leave at 6:30. We'll get there around 9 o'clock, you know, whatever. And we had to pack all the stuff in the car because we're not going back to St. Petersburg, Largo. We're going to be going to Destin from here, and it's all dark. We're packing the stuff up, and My wife's carrying what little bit of garbage we had in her sister's condo down there. And so she's got this garbage in her hand, and she dropped the garbage coming out the screen door, hit her arm. So I've got bags and stuff in my hand. I'm trying to put in the car, and I get them in the car, and I'm running over, and I'm picking in the dark. I'm picking trash up, trying to find them. So I got more stuff to bring out. She runs over to the dumpster and throws it in this dumpster. And brought the rest of stuff out in the car, and I can't find the keys. I cannot find those keys anywhere. Mars, you didn't throw the garbage away yet, did you? She goes, yeah, I threw it in the dumpster. I said, oh, no. I said, I think the keys were in it. I think the key, they must have been in my hand, and when I picked up that garbage and put it back in that bag she had, I think, so it's dark, and I'm trouncing over to this thing, and I'm lifting up and climbing this dumpster. I mean, I smell like garbage, seriously. I jumped in this thing. Some guy comes out of his house. What are you guys doing? I'm just dumpster diving. I dug through garbage for 10 minutes. I couldn't find those keys nowhere. I couldn't find them. I said, oh, my goodness, Lord, you got to help us. Where are they? And I'm digging in the garbage. Some guy come out, and he had a flashlight, and I'm down there in the dumpster, and I got a bad knee, and I'm trying to get – I don't even know how I got in that dumpster, but I'm thinking I may get in. I may never get out. And I'm flinging garbage everywhere. Can't find. Maybe it went down to the bottom. So I'm digging down the bottom. I couldn't. And I come out of the dumpster. I says, do you mind if I take your flashlight and look in the grass? And the guy said, no, go ahead. So I'm looking in the grass. Couldn't find him. And I went in the house. How many believes that God has declared that he has put angels in charge around about us? The Bible says that he has put angels, plural. And I believe in this. You don't have to believe in it yourself. I'm not trying to give you a doctrine. I'm just telling you this is what I believe. I believe that there's an angel that is in charge of lost things over my life. And I need him more the older I get. But anyways, so I'm in the house and I'm saying, oh, God, you have got to help us, Lord. I'm asking you to commission the angel of lost things in Jesus' name to find these keys. I know more than said that. My wife says, found them. Is that the truth? They had, when I carried the bags out, I had the keys in my hand, and that when I put the bags in the back, I let go of the bags, and those keys went down inside of one of those plastic bags. And it's dark, man. I'm thinking we have to take everything back in, unload it. But, you know, God wanted us here, right? So, and the enemy doesn't. How many knows that? The enemy doesn't want to make anything easy for you to do anything. And we just have to be able to hang on, trust God. You know, it's easy to trust the Lord when things are going good. It's when things aren't going good, it's a little harder to trust the Lord, right? Well, at least it is for me. You know, hey, I know. Oh, I want to share something with you because I was unaware of what was about to take place here in your church and in this area with the endeavor you're about to do, and I firmly believe that the enemy doesn't want you to do it. You know, when anybody's in bondage, when anything is in a situation where the enemy has control, he doesn't want to give up. How many knows the devil likes the territory he has? It's just like, you know, like, hey, I can quit smoking anytime. Try it. And the devil likes his ground, you know? I mean, and the first time you say, well, I'm going to stop, then you find out how much pressure the enemy can give you. And when you make a decision that you're going to follow what God has called you to do, you're going to be obedient to that calling, to that mandate in your life, you can rest assured the devil doesn't like it because he likes what he has. He likes his ground. He's very comfortable where he is. And it doesn't matter how much of Jesus you have in you. You can quote the scripture all day long. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you know what? The devil already knows that, and he's not going down without a fight. Because what he wants you to bring you to, he wants you to bring you to the place where you can say that, but don't believe that. Right? So God wants to get us into that place, and I believe it. Like I said, I was unaware of what the ministry, the direction, the ministry God has taken your church. And I just want to share something that I think that is very important. I think that you need to grasp this morning. And I want to read to you out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to begin with the first verse. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now this portion of this letter, Paul wrote this second epistle. He wrote this letter to Timothy. And Timothy is just a young preacher. He's just fresh on the scene here, and he's doing well. And for the first few years of Timothy coming in to take the leadership, things were doing well. The church at Ephesus was thriving. It was growing. It was a prosperous church. Things were doing very well. How many likes it when things go well? Yeah, we do. We love it. And I'm sure this young preacher, Timothy, was, you know, he's starting to feel like, hey, I think I'm called. You know, this is really happening. Wow, you know, people actually listen to what you say, and things are going really well. And God was prospering whatever they put their hands to do. I don't know about you, but, you know, there's times in your ministry, no matter what you do, it turns out right. It just seems, wow, man. And you start getting a little cocky, I guess. You know, you think, well, hey, I got this thing down. And then all of a sudden you realize God begins to show you, don't get cocky, because there's a turn in there's some ups and downs to this ministry thing. And they were prospering. They were doing good. They loved Timothy at this time. He was just, you know, every time they talked about him, it was good things. Don't you love that, Charlie? By the way, I want you, I love your pastor very, very much. And I'll never forget the day that he walked in our church. I had no idea who he was. He came in and he stood in the back. I think he was standing in the back. And I said, without hesitation, God spoke to me that he had the word of the Lord for our church. I didn't even know if he was a preacher. And I said, brother, do you have something that you would like to say to the church? And of course, Charlie, without hesitant, yes. And Charlie was a lot younger then in the Lord than he is now. And he was like a bull in the china shop. I mean, he had all the goods. He had all the things. He had all the knowledge. He had all the direction, all the wisdom that God wanted to give him. Trouble is, he wasn't applying it, you know, where I was comfortable anyways. Charlie, do you realize that I went through my fingernails, my wife's fingernails, and I borrowed some from the church time you got done? I chewed everybody's fingernails. But God spoke to me, even though I was nervous, even though the way he presented the word of God, God spoke to me, said, you're in the midst of a prophet. I've sent this prophet to this house to speak a word, and not only for this house, but for the houses in this region. And God spoke to me that. And I said to the Lord, I said, I want to be part of it. I don't care. I want to be part of it. I'll walk with them. How many times, Charlie, did he say, listen, I trust you, Charlie? I'm thinking, I hope he really heard that. But I watched, seriously, I watched him grow over the time, and he has become he's not gentler, he's just wiser in how he presents. And I tell you, Charlie, you're a great man of God, you're a prophet of the Lord. I listen to what you have to say. So, kudos to you, right? And to the Lord, hallelujah. All right. When things are going good, we love it, and this was what's happening with Timothy, and just everything he touched, it just seemed to turn to gold for him. And all of a sudden, by the second letter that he is now was writing to Timothy, things had kind of turned around. Things had taken a significant turn for the worst. Nero had become the Roman emperor at that time, and in that, he brought a lot of persecution to the church. All of a sudden, this church that had no opposition now has total opposition. Things begin to really take a turn, and this Nero was working havoc and despair in the lives of Christian people. Those who name the name of Christ, those who dare to declare, I'm following Jesus Christ. Persecution came their way. And Ephesus became, it was one of the most pagan cities there was at that time. And during this time, all of a sudden things changed for Timothy. This persecution goes on. They tried to scare the Christians in abandoning their faith. So they would persecute them. And they did this by cruel and humane ways. Listen, I did an extensive study on the persecution of the saints in for Jerusalem. You cannot believe, you'll never read it in a book that somebody's going to read to you in the church, but I'll tell you what, it is brutal. It is brutal, the inhumane things they did to Christian people. It is mind-blowing. You can't even begin to fathom how brutal and how cruel they were to the Christian. This had to really begin to stir. You know, we think of persecution today that, you know, somebody says, I don't like Jesus Christ, or you're one of those Christian people, you know, say something silly about you. We think that's the height of a persecution. Listen, I want you to know that was... They would have gladly received that. There really was tremendous, tremendous persecution. Anytime you take a stand in a place where paganism is dominated, you are going to get fought against. And this church, I believe, is about ready to take a stand against the enemy, against what has been rooted and grounded for, what was it, six generations, I think he said? I mean, think about it. This is something that the enemy has his roots in. He is settled in. He likes what he's developed. He's not going to give it up easy. And I believe this church is about to, when they take the stand, they're about to going to feel that opposition. They're going to feel the pressure. It's not going to be, we don't like you. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil doesn't want God's people to be victorious in anything God calls them to do. Timothy, think about this. For the first few years, things went good, and then all of a sudden, man, this persecution hit the church. And Timothy, he had to not only deal with some of his flock, all of a sudden, hey, where's Brother Joe? Oh, they killed him. They fed him to lions last week. You know, think about it. Hey, where's Sister Sue? Well, man, she's in the dungeon, you know. Think about it. And just simply by naming the name of Christ. And so a lot of pressure upon him. And not only that, Timothy not only had to deal with all the fear and all the death of some of his members, but also he had to deal with the internal deception that was going on in the church itself. How many knows, Pastor, I'm sure you're going to realize this, and you probably already do, but when you make a stand and say, God told us to do this, you're going to get many people, well, you'll probably get them all saying hallelujah. Until the pressure hits. Then the hallelujah and amen corner quiets up real quick. Right? You find out who really meant hallelujah, amen, in the beginning, because it thins the herd out. Persecution will thin the herd out really quick. Amen? And that's what was happening here. And you know, not everybody just says, well, look, hey, this is what you want to do here, so this isn't the church for me. No, 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 no. They don't want to leave the church. They want you to leave the church, right? They don't want to give up where they feel God planted them, so they become an opposition. Timothy was dealing with that as well. People from his church being in prison, people from his church being killed, disappearing, and not only that, but the internal disruption in the church and the working against what God had told him to do. All these things were happening. But I want you to know something. He writes to Paul, and he's telling Paul about this stuff. And Paul is the seasoned minister, right? He's the real, you know, he's the daddy of the group. He comes in, you know. So Timothy, the young man, writes the daddy and says to him, man, you can't believe what's going on here. Man, it was so good. We were having it. Everybody loved me. Everybody said it was great. They put me on a pedestal, and the whole community loved me. All of a sudden, things changed. Now they hate me. Now the church wants to get rid of me. People are dying. People are leaving the church, going back to paganism, and all because of the fear of the persecutions going on. And what do I do? You know what Paul did? He wrote him a letter back. This is the letter. And he wrote in there, and his instruction to him was this. He urged Timothy to remember that he was to be instant in season and out of season. Now, I don't know about you, but if my congregation is being killed, if they're disappearing, if they're going to prison, being persecuted, everybody hates me, nobody likes me, and the internal leadership of the church is against me, trying to get me out, I want to hear a little bit more than be instant in season and out of season, brother. I would like to hear a little bit more. Could you explain that, please? You know, I have always used this portion of Scripture to encourage people in ministry to always have a sermon under your belt, because you never know. You might go to a church somewhere and say, oh, brother, I didn't know you were in the midst. Would you like to preach? You know, and, you know, oh, gee, I didn't bring a message with me. Well, you just missed out, right? I tell singers, you know, hey, listen, have a song ready. Carry your CDs with you, you know, because if somebody asks you to sing, you want to be instant in season, out of season. Well, listen, that counsel is still good, but that's not what this means. It's still good counsel, but it isn't what it means. Paul writes him back and tells him, this is it. Of all I've heard, I want you to be instant in season, out of season. Now, here's the truth. You see, there's a law that's revealed here that you are going to need to know. For what God is leading this congregation and this body of Christ to, listen, it doesn't matter the size of a congregation. What matters is those who are obedient to the heavenly calling. God will be with those that are obedient to him. He will lead. He doesn't need 50,000. He doesn't need 10,000. He needs one person to be obedient, and God will go with that obedient child. So there's a law here, I think, that this church would do well to understand here today, to equip you, to get you ready to do what God... Because listen, opposition is coming. Now, if you want to call that a prophecy, then thus saith the Lord. Opposition is going to come to this house because of the stand you're going to make, because of the decisions that the leadership is going to lead this church into to take the devil by the horn, to reclaim some ground. Amen? Listen, so this law is that, this is what I want to really get. It's the law of perseverance. Be instant in season, out of season. It's the law of perseverance. Mean to be insistent. You got to be insistent in what you're going to do. You got to be determined. When you make a decision, you have got to be determined. Listen, you can say today, look, I got up this morning, looked in the mirror, and said, my God, I'm never going to eat again. Well, you know, by the time I got here, I had an apple pie at McDonald's. I'm just confessing, right? You got to be determined. When you're going to make a decision, you got to be determined. Like, I'll tell you what. You can say, I'm never going to eat. I'm going on a diet. I'm never going to eat. Listen, by noon the next day, you're ripping the refrigerator right off its hinges. You know, you got to get in there. So you got to be determined. You've got to have a faithful resolve in what you're going to do. And if you're about to take an endeavor and take the church into the battlefield of the enemy, you have got to be determined whether the church comes with me or not. I'm going to do this. Because I'll tell you what, you're going to get a lot of amens in the beginning. But towards when you reach the battlefield and you say, charge, you're going to look around and you say, where is everybody? I'm with you, Pastor. Whew. It's a law of perseverance. Now catch this. This is the word that Paul gives this young minister who's in the heat of the battle because he made the decision to follow God. The word instant in the Greek is ahistomi, and it means this. It's a compound, it's two words. It's epi and histamine. Histamine. The word epi means upon. The word estimi means to stand. Oh man, this starts to unfold. When you put these two words together, the meaning is to stand upon. Now this phrase, to stand upon, it's taken from a military term. And that in military term is this. It means to take a firm stand or hard position. Or the military term is stay your post. Now listen, if you don't remember anything more about this message, remember this. Stay your post. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, you've got to stay your post because the battle gets tough. The enemy doesn't give up easy. When you want to change something in your life, how many knows that change is always hard? That's why we hate the word change. Because it's hard to do it. You know, hey, I'm going to change my personality. Oh, yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, it takes a lifetime. Amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ who gives us the strength beyond our capability to do the changes that we can't do ourselves? But in order for that to happen, how many knows God is not a God of force? He's a God of permission. God can do anything. He can change you in a heartbeat. But one thing he can't do is go against your will. So God is a God of permission. He needs your permission to say, Lord, change me. And when the rough time comes and when the pressure's upon you, listen, you have to say to Lord, I'm going to let you do it in me. Do it, Lord. I know I can't do it myself. Lord, I give you permission to rattle my cage. I give you permission to upset my home. I give you permission to stir my church. I give you permission to stir the body of Christ. Why? Because I want to be obedient to what God has called me to do. We've got to stand your post. Man, when the devil starts getting on, man, hear the words that Paul spoke into this young minister's ears. Stand your post. Don't give up. Don't leave it. If God called you there, be determined to stay there. Catch this now. Paul knew that it was from Timothy's position as a pastor over a flock, that it was his position that he could maintain leadership. Leave the position, you can't maintain leadership. Right? It was from that position he could impart the vision. So Paul is saying, stay your post, man. Don't give up. Don't step aside because you won't be able to lead the people. You won't be able to impart the vision. It is in that position that Timothy could issue rebukes. It is in that position that he could bring correction. It is in that position that he would be able to teach and preach the very word of God that would lay the foundation that would bring them through victorious through the persecution. Yeah. Stay your ground. Stand your post because it's not going to get easy. Timothy, he isn't just being... People didn't like him, man. We're talking about people dying. We're talking about a congregation in prison. We're talking about people disappearing. We're talking about the internal affairs and the church turning against him, trying to excommunicate him out of the church, rip him from his calling. Man, this is a brutal place. And Paul says, listen, here's what I want you to do. Stand your post. Don't be moved. Be determined. I am going to hold on. See, the truth is, Paul knew because of the calling of God, no one else could fulfill those things except Timothy stood his ground. If God has called this church to go into battle, if God has called you to march into enemy territory, I want you to know with God's calling, with God's mandate upon you, you're the only church that can do it at this moment in time, or God would have chose someone else. Listen, God is not an old guy up there, half senile, saying, I wonder what we should do. God has chosen. God knew before this church ever existed that when this church was birthed in this community, that there was a place that he was going to have that church go that no other church dared to go. God makes no mistakes. Because of this position that Timothy was assigned to him by God, Paul charges him, I know it's tough, and it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough because you're taking on the enemy's territory. He loves his place. He loves his position. He loves his ground. Catch this now. Catch this. He's saying, I want you to be instant in season, out of season. I want you to be instant. I want you to stay your post. Catch this. The word in season comes from the Greek word. It's called eukaryos. The word out of season comes from the Greek word akarios. Big difference. It's eukaryos and akarios. And the difference is that the word Kairos means season or times. So both of them are talking about a season or a time. But the word can be altered just by adding a different prefix, such as you or a or a. When you add the EU to it, in the front of it, it becomes eukaryous. And eukaryous means happy, pleasant, or pleasurable. Now catch this. Catch this. Timothy's writing Paul. He's in the midst of all this persecution, all this trial and tribulation, all this death and all this destruction. It's going on, all this deception in the church and trying to get him out. And he writes Paul, and Paul writes him back. And he said, listen, here's what I want you. Stand your post when you're happy. Stand your post when there's enough money. Stand your post when the congregation shows up. Stand your post when everything you want to do is going well. Stand your post when it's pleasant. Stand your post when it's good. How many knows that's the easy part? Now, I'd have loved it. I would have loved it if Paul would have stopped there. But he said, stand your post in good times. Pleasant times, joyable times, prosperous times. But he says, listen, I also want you to stand your ground in Icarus times. Yeah. Icarus. When you add the word A, take the EU, I'll put the word A on Icarus. It means bad times. It means bad times. Listen, I'll bet you Timothy was looking for Paul, rescue me. I'll bet he was looking, Daddy, I'm in trouble. I need you to come and help me. I want you to know Paul wasn't tending to come, but Paul was coming with the word of God. He sent the word of the Lord to him. He said, stand your post when it was good. You remember how easy it was to stand your post when you were blessed? You remember how easy it was to stand your post when everything was going well? He says, well, now it's going bad. Stand your post. Woo! We've got to hanging on. And I'm telling you, I had no idea where the church was going. But I believe that this is a prophetic word for this house. I believe you love your pastor, and I believe that as he begins to reveal the path, and he begins to reveal the direction, and begins to reveal God's purpose for what this house is ordained to do, I believe at first there's going to be all of you saying, hallelujah, brother, let's do it. But when it comes, when you take that first step out there, you can rest assured resistance will come. Oh, listen, not at first it'll be, you know, little words, you know, all that church. Who do they think they are? And that little hole in the wall, well, you know, hole in the wall, little corner in the little plaza. Huh? You know, there's people that fall for that stuff. They get all frustrated. They get all, oh my Lord, you know, I want to be loved by everybody. So do I. I just found there's some people who don't love me. I still love them. Right? They can hate me. I still love them. Right? That's what you got to be. You can't spend all your life trying to make people love you. You can't do it. Our job is to be obedient to God. So we've got to stay our post in the bad times. So when Paul told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season, what he was really saying, telling them, he said to him, listen, be faithful. Whether you're having a good time, whether things are going good, or whether things are falling apart, stay your post. And if you've been in the ministry any length of time, if you've been saved any length of time, you know that every day is not a day you want to write home and say, I'm glad I'm saved. There's days you're saying, why did I do this? Is there a way out, Lord? Right? Yeah, only way out of this one is you gotta die, right? We need to take a firm stand and a resolve. That's the key. When we make a decision, it has to be determinate. You've got to say, I'm going to do this. God, you've spoken. You've spoken to the leaders of this house, and I'm going to follow. How many's following your pastors? I love my pastor. I love him. You got 5 or 10 here, Charlie. All right. Come on, you're going to stand with them, right? Even in the days of persecution, right?
Even in the days when the persecution knocks on your door, you think that all the persecution, all the bad events are going to happen to your pastor because he made a decision? I want you to know he wants to wear the army down. Because devil don't even have to go to him. He can walk out of there, man, with his chest out saying, I'm ready to die. And the problem is, are you? Because he needs you. He needs the gifts. He needs the talents, the abilities that are in this house. And they're, hurabakasataya. They're, shoo. You know, brother, I just see you as this portion in your life. You're like a caterpillar that's come into a cocoon. And that cocoon, God is preparing that caterpillar to come out as a beautiful butterfly. And God is preparing you. God is preparing you to handle some things in life. And not that the portion where you were before wouldn't be able to handle it. You wouldn't be able to stand your ground. You wouldn't be able to stay your post. But God is bringing you into a place. He's beginning to deal with you. Listen, in a cocoon place, it's a dark place. It's a place where you feel like you're abandoned. It's a place where you feel like nothing's going right your way. You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I got news for you, brother, that God is going to bring you out stronger than when you went in, and you are going to be a vital instrument in this house for what God's called this church to do. We need to take a stand, a firm resolve to stay our post, because this isn't going to get easy. You want easy? Go to a church that isn't doing nothing. That's easy. Yeah. But you want to do something for God, then you find a little church that's ready to look the devil in the face and say, come on, give me your best shot. Right? We've got to be in that place where we, regardless of whether times are good or times are bad, we're going to stay our post. You got to make that decision. I believe this is a prophetic word for this house today. I believe that this church is on the verge, right on the edge of making an historic event in this region. I believe it's there, but it's going to take you making that determined resolve that you're not going to move even if it gets bad. You're going to stay your post, your place of responsibility. You're going to dig in. You're going to root in. You're not going to be swayed by anything. You're going to hang on and see the victory. Now, I want you to know, you got to have that desire that you're going to press through, that you're going to go through the struggles, the rejection, the disappointments, that whatever you're facing, whatever fears that are there, that you're going to face them in the power and the anointing of God, knowing and trusting that God is going to bring you through, even when it looks like you're not.
Yeah.
You see, God's looking for those that will stay their post no matter what. Stay your post. For Timothy, he had struggles. The outcome of this, when you read in the history of Timothy, he came through victorious. His legacy is that things turned around. How many knows that if you stay your post, things can turn around? And that's what God wants. He wants you to stay your post. Timothy had many different kinds of seasons, some good. Listen, Pastor, I've been pastoring for a long time. And man, there's some days, man, that I'm feeling like on top of the world. No matter what I do or say, it just, I can preach a bad sermon. People say, that was a great sermon. I'm thinking, really? Was I in the same service? That's what I wanted to know. And then there's days that you think, man, that's the greatest sermon I ever preached. People say, you know, you need to study a little more. Huh? Good times, bad times, man. You got to hang in there. And Timothy had to make that decision. And all that Paul had to say to him, listen, you need to be instant in season, out of season. Good times and bad times. Stay your post. If God has called this church to storm the enemy ground, then stay your post. And God will bring the victory. It's already recorded in history. God brings the history. I said earlier, I said, you can't write this stuff. Only history can do that. And I believe that God wants this church to take a page in history that other churches will look at when they faced their bad times. That the little church will be reminded, Identity Church. They'll say, you know, Identity Church made it. They made it. We can make it. Stand with me if you would. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We praise you. Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, that you will seal this word. I believe this is the word of the Lord for this house, Lord. God, if they heard anything, they've heard stay your post no matter what goes on. Trust you, Lord. Trust the leadership that you put over them. That in the day of battle, Lord God, they will be the ones that will be there with them, fighting the fight of faith and bringing victory. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you. We praise you. Father, I pray over Charlie today. I pray, Lord God, a hedge of protection around him. The God, that you will give him, Lord, an armor of scales around him that can ward off the rejection, that can ward off the questions that would want to produce doubt. Lord God, that you will give him the undeniable strength that he will stay his post. If the whole church abandons it, he will stay his post. I pray, Lord God, that hedge of protection around his leadership. Those, Lord God, that are walking before him and digging up the foundation, making the path ready for him to go forth with the prophetic gift that you have given him, that you will protect them and give them, Lord God, the tenacity to stay their post no matter what happens. Even though they may be called, oh, you're just following man, that will not have any negative effect upon them. But they will stay their post, and you will bring victory for the mandate that is set upon this ministry. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Pastor, would you come?
Thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning in to Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.